I'd like to speak to everybody this afternoon on a message entitled, How Does One Increase Their Faith? I'd like to first start out by addressing what faith actually is. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained the good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we should have learned that not only is faith the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, we also should have learned that the elders obtained a good report by having faith. So that should tell us that if we want to obtain a good report with God, we too need to exercise faith. We also learned that by faith, we as humans accept that God spoke the world into existence by things that do not appear. The dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence, belief that is not based on proof. Now that we know what faith is, I'd like to share with you how important it is to have faith. In Hebrews 11:6, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So then, having faith is pretty important to have, isn't it? So we want to make sure we exercise our faith before God, that He may be pleased with us, so that we too can obtain a good report like the elders before us. You may be wondering what the word diligently means. The word diligent means careful and conscious in task or duty, constant in effort to accomplish something, attentive and persistent in doing something, marked by persevering with painstaking effort. So according to the verse we just read, not only is it impossible to please God without having faith, we also learned that when we come to the Lord, we must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So now we have learned that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that the elders obtained a good report by faith. Through faith in God, we believe He spoke the world into existence, not by things which were seen, but out of nothing, and that without faith, it is impossible to please God, and that we also must believe that the Lord is a rewarder of those who make a conscientious effort, characterized by persevering with a constant, painstaking effort. Now ask yourself a couple of questions. When you seek the Lord with your prayers, do you pursue Him with diligence? Do you have enough faith to believe that He will answer your prayer? Now that we understand what faith is and how important it is to have faith, let's take some time to explain what faith isn't. Faith isn't saying, I believe God is going to answer my prayer, or at least I hope He does. Faith isn't saying, I believe God answers prayer, I just don't know if He'll answer mine. Faith isn't saying, I believe God is going to answer my prayers, then having to go take a nerve-suppressing agent such as Xanax. So then, how does one increase their faith? You may be telling yourself that you don't have any faith to even be increased. Let's see what the Bible says about that belief system. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul is speaking and says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we know that every man has been given the measure of faith. Thank God for that. So since we know we have a measure of faith, the question remains, how then do we increase our faith? Let's start with step one. Step one, hearing. In Romans chapter 10 and verses 10 through 17, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed to speak about Jesus Christ to your friends? Are you afraid to speak of Jesus Christ while you are in a public area? Because the Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. continuing in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This verse does not mean that if you call on the name of the Lord and have not followed the plan of salvation, that you will be saved. The Bible plainly lays out the plan of salvation that must be followed. This verse is speaking to those who already have fulfilled the plan of salvation. Listen to what Luke chapter 13, verses 23 through 30 reads. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now that you understand what verse 13 meant, I will reread it and listen closely to what verse 14 reads. At verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him, Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So now we see that you must have a preacher to hear the word of God. Continuing at verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This brings us to step two, believing. The word believe means to have confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability of something, although without absolute proof that one is right in doing so. To have faith, confidence, or trust. So not only do you have to hear the Word of God to increase your faith, you also have to believe what you hear. However, there are many false teachers and false doctrines. So if you truly want your faith to increase, you will have to open your Bible up and begin to study and confirm what you are being taught. You will also have to search the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 through 21, it reads, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. The word subverting means to destroy completely, ruin, to undermine the character, morals, or allegiance of, to corrupt. At verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing means correctly interpreting the word of God in analysis and in presentation. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. These verses are very important to hear. This tells us that if we are in a church that doesn't rightly divide the Bible, to get away from them, because it will increase unto more ungodliness. If you do not go home and study what the preacher has taught to you, and search the Scriptures yourself to see if the preacher correctly interpreted the passages he preached on, then how will you ever know that you are in a false doctrine of profane and vain babblings? Continuing at verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The word iniquity means injustice or immoral behavior. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So there is no reason for you to be a vessel of dishonor. This verse plainly tells you that if you will purge yourself from iniquity, then you will be a vessel of honor and sanctified. The word sanctified means to make holy, set apart as sacred, consecrate, to purify or free from sin. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37, and verses 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we have learned up to this point that not only do you need to hear the Word of God from a preacher, you also need to study and make sure what you hear is accurate. And you need to put your trust in the Lord by believing that the Word of God is truth. In Psalms chapter 40 and verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So now we know that God cannot lie, so there is no reason not to put your complete trust in God. In John chapter 6, and verses 35 through 37, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is important to understand that the water of life that Jesus is referring to is the Holy Ghost. Again, the plan of salvation still needs to be followed. It is not enough to just say, I believe. In John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This passage in which Jesus spoke that a man needs to be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, this water here is referring to being baptized into Jesus' death, and the Spirit is the receiving of the Holy Ghost, of which he was referring to the lady at the well, that he had water that if you drink, you would never thirst again. It is very important that you follow this plan of salvation, or you will not enter the kingdom of God. If you are unsure as to whether or not you have followed the plan of salvation correctly, be sure to click on the animated opening and closing present on our website and scroll down to the salvation links listed under the salvation track and select the link for salvation package. This is three lessons to help you understand the correct plan of salvation. These are repentance, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it reads, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, knowing that God cannot lie, you will be filled, and that will include the correct plan of salvation. This brings us to step 3, applying. The word apply means to put to use, especially for a particular purpose, to bring into action. In the book of James, chapter 1, and verses 22 through 27, it reads, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and go his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Hear how important it is to apply the word of God. You don't want to be one who hears the word and walks off and forgets what manner of man you are, because you are not a doer of the word, but just a hearer of the word. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So if you are a doer of the word, you shall be blessed in your actions. Also notice that pure religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. This is true and pure religion. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, it reads, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall he be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So now we have learned that we need to be a hearer, a believer, and a doer of the word of God, or you are likened unto a foolish man that built your house upon the sand. Two more things you can do in applying the word of God to increase your faith is pray for the gifts of the Spirit, and be sure you pray to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you may be filled. Since we know that God cannot lie, we know that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you will be filled. This is very important to pray for. The gifts of the Spirit are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 4 through 14. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Take notice that one of the gifts is the gift of faith. If your faith is low, this is a great way to see your faith increased by praying for the gift of faith. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So you don't want to find yourself only being a hearer of the word of God, but also be a doer. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus tells us something extremely important. If you love me, keep my commandments. In John chapter 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you do not keep the commandments that God has laid out for us in the Bible, then you do not love God. See how important it is to apply the Word of God in your life? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, it reads, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. This is very important to understand. Jesus just told us that if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, then you will have fulfilled the law. You may be wondering, how then? The answer is, if you love God, love your neighbor, you will keep His commandments, then you will gladly hear and receive the plan of salvation that He has laid out before us so that you too will have everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, it reads, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hear that. This is very clear to not love the world or anything in it. Otherwise, the love of God is not in you. Are you in love with your money, your makeup, your friends, the TV set, your car, yourself? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. So do you think the questions I mentioned above are not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But if you do not come out from among them, and be ye separate, then you are not the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. So we now know, to increase our faith, we need to hear, believe, and apply the Word of God. This takes us to step four. Step four. Suffering. The word suffer means to endure pain, to undergo or feel pain or distress, death. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 10 through 13, Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This passage did not tell us that if we have a party or a great walk in the park, that we would reign with Christ, but it said, if we suffer, we will reign with him. In James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. The prophets and the brethren of the Lord left for us an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Why would you think that you should be any different? Don't be deceived that the Lord wants to fill your pockets with cash. Don't believe that this is the age of the Christian to reign supreme on the earth. This life is about suffering. If you aren't suffering, then you must be doing something wrong. But also, don't deceive yourselves into believing that suffering for unrighteousness will count for you in the day of judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, who comforteth us in all tribulation, why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. These verses have explained to us very clearly that we are comforted during tribulation, that we may comfort others in their time of trouble. The suffering of Christ abounds in us. It did not say that there's carnal rods of joy abounding in us, but that sufferings are abounding in us. Whether we be afflicted, we are partakers of the sufferings, so that we shall also be of the consolation, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we don't suffer with him, or if we suffer without him, then you will be cast into the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth eternally, where the worm dieth not. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In Hebrews chapter 2, and verses 9 and 10, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8 through 15, But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And this brings us to step 5, perfection. The word perfect means entirely without any flaws, defects, or shortcomings. Accurate, exact, or correct in every detail. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified means to demonstrate or prove to be just, right, or valid, to declare free of blame, absolved. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So our tribulations and suffering bring forth patience and experience, and finally hope of the love of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 13 through 18, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raiseth up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In chapter 5, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have in a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So Apostle Paul has told us that they walk by faith. And all that he has suffered is but a light affliction. Listen to what all Apostle Paul went through in his life. This can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. This is what all Paul went through. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, that means beatings, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Paul has just told us that he was beat 5 separate times, 39 times each, suffered in labors, and was put in prison often. He continues saying, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So I don't figure very many of us have ever went through what Apostle Paul has considered a light affliction. In closing, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So then, how does one increase their faith? By hearing the word of God, believing the word of God, applying the word of God, which brings forth suffering, that finally makes us perfect.